Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, only in New York.
Welcome to Only in New York. I'm Tracy Carnazzo.
And I'm Andrea Allen.
I'm Chemda. Today's guest, we love him. He's the co-host of the Keith and the Girl show. 15 years running this show. Over 3,000 episodes. He's in the Podcasting Hall of Fame. He is my co-host of the Keith and the Girl show. Please welcome Keith Malley.
Hello, folks.
Hey, thanks for being here. We're in your studio recording.
This is weird. Just being in a different seat is weird, but I'm very excited.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Keith, you moved here from the hick country of Pennsylvania.
Well, I'm out of here. Somerset, Pennsylvania, and I was getting some kind of reverse claustrophobia. I was in a place at the time where when you said, how you doing to somebody, they thought it was a real question, and it was just odd, and I didn't appreciate it, and I was bored, and I knew I had to leave. I didn't know if it'd be New York City or LA, just because I know those were the most exciting things, and I guess I saw one movie about New York more than I did about LA. And
like,
so,
a Godfather type movie? Yeah. Just like spaghetti, and you're like, I'm in.
Did you bring us any apple butter?
No, right?
Okay, because otherwise I need you to leave.
It is true. He is from one of those places. Like, I went to visit his family, and we drove there. As soon as we turned off the car, I mean, on the way, I got scared. The highway's fine. It's like highway all the way. Then you get off into the neighborhood, and it's quiet, and there's only cornfields, and it's everything that you start a horror movie in.
Isn't that where that horror movie was filmed, though?
It's where every horror movie is filmed.
But there was a specific horror movie. Come on, Keith, you know
in
these
your
things.
Town?
At The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow, you're from The Hills, officially. You're a country man.
And then you turn off the car, and the whole place is so silent. It was nighttime. The whole place is so silent that me, I grew up in New York, and I'm like, is this where people kidnap you and then just like chop your body, and there's so many places that you could just, you know, spread your body out.
This is
and nobody
where
cares.
Weird priests have basement churches, like Keith is Keith's dad. Right.
Yes.
You know,
isn't the movie Witness?
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's wasn't that,
yeah,
that was
Somerset,
by you.
Pennsylvania. Witness.
He's just gonna say yes to everything.
I also honestly hate you.
Silent Hill, you're thinking. Yeah.
Somerset is also such a like quaint, sweet sounding name. It's a very small town, America. What's the Simpsons hometown called?
Springfield.
Springfield, but it was recorded in Somerset.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I've visited Somerset, and Springfield is a city.
Compared to that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. This has like, if you have multiples of anything, like you have, you know, one diner and one fancy steak
place. Well, let's be clear that a poo isn't welcome in Somerset.
Exactly. If you have more than one of anything, it's the church. So you have like multiple churches, but not like multiple grocery stores or multiple options of anything. So it's just...
Yeah, if I visit, I know the two places to go to see anybody from when I was a kid that might still be there.
So do you, when you're thinking about moving to New York... Do you know people that have moved? Are you scared? Like, is there any kind of like, oh man, this is a huge jump.
Like the big city.
I know it's a huge jump, but I know I have to. It's a boring, simple town. And I do understand that that's the place where people do drugs to get by, but my parents didn't let me have friends, so I never got with a bad crowd.
Is this like that show Breaking Amish?
It was filmed there. And
this is, I mean, I feel like this is what's going on in your world.
You know, I think it was just short of Amish, don't you think?
We had Amish like a mile or two down the road, no exaggeration. Yeah, I just knew, I'm like, this can't be it. And you said, and we got the big city movies, so I knew there was more, whatever more meant.
Did you have a movie theater close to your house?
We did, and then it failed because I couldn't keep going. I was the only one going.
It was just your
big city dreams.
I also think it's very funny that you hear a lot of people go, I either had to move to New York or LA.
Or become a drug addict. Option three.
Well, I knew I was moving.
My parents did the same thing. When they moved here, they told me we were going to choose between New York and LA. And I'm like, these are totally different cultures, totally different vibes. A different system.
You don't know. Yeah. I was either New York or London. And it was like,
oh, funny.
Those are both places where things are happening.
Because regardless, you would be an immigrant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
White
immigrant.
If I thought another country was an option, it could be Paris. I wanted the most extreme thing. So it wasn't Chicago. It wasn't Denver. I knew the big ones from movies were New York or LA.
It had to be the most big.
It had to be the most. When I got out of high school, I moved out at 18. I joined the military because I didn't know what else to do. And I wanted whatever the hardest thing was or whatever the biggest thing was. And
yeah.
I was convinced that the Army was around the longest. That's the biggest. Right. And I'm like, okay, so I'll join the Army. What's the biggest city? And it came to me that it was New York.
Wanted the biggest change? So you were like, what is so big? Like, I'm going to drive 2.5 hours away. That's the biggest thing I can do. I'm going to pack my car or get on a bus that's going to cost me $10. Right. And you know, in 2.5 hours, I'm going to be the biggest change in my whole life.
Hero's journey.
And you did take a bus, right?
Ride was 6 to 8 hours. Somerset is on the west side, far west side of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's huge. Pennsylvania changes elections. And I remember being on that
bus. That's their claim to fame.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
We can ruin it.
Too many of us country people and you're fucked. Right.
So there's this company called Finger Hut. And you got these magazines in the mail, and you didn't have to pay for things up front, but
it was like a layaway plan.
The layaway plan was like 600%. It was for suckers, and it ended up being against the law. It's the way Columbia House actually was against the law, and it's okay if you didn't pay because you weren't supposed to pay. It's illegal what they were doing.
Okay,
so I would buy all these things: a computer, a camcorder, a nice jacket, and then I sold them. And that's how I got my money to come to New York.
So back up. So Finger Hut advances you money?
Five Finger Hut. No, you...
They give you the product, right?
They give you the product.
Oh.
And you just promise to pay.
Right. It was also my nickname in college.
Five Finger Hut.
LOLOLOL. So they're like, here, get all this stuff. You'll pay us later at a 600% interest rate.
Yeah.
And so then you were like, I'm going to... quote, buy all this stuff, and then I'm going to sell it.
Yes.
And that's actually smart.
I love that.
Yeah, that's great. You're a grifter.
I made $3,000.
No!
I came to New York with $3,000.
Okay, so now this was how long ago?
1996. Okay. October.
What did you sell? Do you remember specifically?
The computer was a big one.
Yeah, sure.
Was it like a Commodore 64?
It was an actual computer, but I can't imagine what it could do now.
Could you burn DVDs in the hard drive?
No, not yet.
No.
No,
that's New York living. That wasn't until I met Henda and we were in New York.
96 was just the beginning of like AOL.
Yeah.
That was it. Because I remember I had Encarta 96. Do you remember the?
Yes.
The encyclopedia on your computer?
Yes. Yep.
And that's what I used to do.
Can you remember that things that used to excite us now are like laughable?
Well, Keith and I started the podcast in 2005, and at the time nobody knew what a podcast was. Not only that, we couldn't even be like, this is a thing that you can stream. That word was too nerdy. We had to say, after we gave up on all the options to strangers, what do you do for a living? We had to say, we work on the internet. That was a huge thing. People would roll their eyes and go, oh, nerd shit, I don't want to hear anymore.
Right.
And that would either be the end or they know something, anything about computers.
If you said that now, that you work on the internet, I would assume that you were a webcam model.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by a webcam model, I mean porn star.
People jerk off to you.
Yes.
So, okay. So you sell the computer, the leather jacket, all these things.
And now $3,000 now would get you no apartment, no nothing in New York.
Right.
But back then, what was the plan?
Well, you bought a house.
There was no plan. I didn't have a place ready. But I knew I had $3,000. I was rich. I was so rich.
Was it in your pocket? I swear to God. Was it in your pocket?
No, it was in a bank. I knew New York City was bad news, and I knew I'd have to keep going to an ATM for every transaction. I was smart enough to know that.
Okay.
I found a hostel. I assumed, this is where I'll stay for a while. The hostel said I can live there indefinitely. A week went by, and they kicked me out.
Why? What'd you do?
You could only stay there a week at a time, they said. And I'm like, oh, I talked to this guy. And he goes, yeah, well, this guy isn't here. Goodbye. Mm. And so I hid all my stuff. I had a bag. I came with a duffel bag. I hid my
bag. Oh, my God, an actual duffel bag. Because now he carries just, you know, shopping bags from Key Foods.
Yeah.
Right. Well, now I'm established. Okay. And I can look how I look. You can't walk in with plastic bags in a hostel and expect to stay longer than a week.
So how much was the hostel, do you remember, for like a week?
$60 maybe.
Okay.
A week?
Not for the whole week.
I really don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say it's a good deal. I might move into one right now.
Well, you could tell I didn't know what $3,000 was. You know, I'm like, it was $60. Was it $600, Keith? Yeah, probably. I don't know. There's
a six. What is the hostel like though? Because I've honestly never been there. I've done a comedy show in a hostel, but like in the common area.
Yeah. You lived with about 8 other people in the same room.
So it's like a dorm.
Exactly. But like, with more people.
Was there a bunk bed?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind. I didn't mind.
How many bathrooms?
Probably one on each floor. It was a bigger place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just fainted.
This is, I mean, it's nice to not have hair. You know what I mean?
I mean, what about pooping?
You do it.
Right, but is there more than one stall? Like, is it
they
like
all they all shit in each other's mouths? You take
it's a human centipede kind of situation.
Yeah, it's like a college dorm room. You know, you have your showers kind of like a gym.
Right.
And, oh, fuck.
And you had your bathroom. You didn't care. I didn't care.
Well, this you must have just been so happy to be out of
the cornfield.
Somerville, Pennsylvania.
If I found out that every New York house was like the hostel, I'd be like, yeah, makes sense. You have a lot of people here.
And right, there's no internet. He didn't check what's happening here. He just showed up.
Right.
So then how did you, like, even finding the hostel, you were just walking up and down the block.
I think I knew the hostel.
Okay.
Because I knew where I was going, because I remember getting on that, off the bus at Grand Central or whatever, and trying to figure out, is downtown the cool part of town, or is downtown literally you go downtown? Apparently it's the latter. And I remember finding this place. Yeah, because I think it was like 72nd Street or something. And I remember going,
that's
I have
not
to go
downtown.
Well, I thought this is a happening place. I go downtown.
Downtown.
He went downtown to 72nd Street.
Right.
So back in the New
that's
York
how you know he's a New Yorker.
I'm about like where the ferries leave the bottom of the city. And I'm like, well, I don't know where to go.
So when I first moved here, I was coming from Canada, and I remember someone tried to hustle me in Union Square to like buy like hair products or something like that. And they're like, you have to give me cash. And I remember walking to an ATM, and on the way there, I'm like, oh, I think this person is scamming me.
If they're walking you to an ATM.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. Yeah. But the thing
it's
is
either
like,
a strip club or you're dead.
Yes, exactly. And I remember being like, oh, I must have like a scamming kind of face because I'm looking everywhere. Yeah. There's definitely this like new to New York, enamored by everything, very trustworthy, has no idea what's going on, and it's like all over your face. You must have had that so much.
Absolutely. You know, it's true. People are strange when you're a stranger. Even if I'm in another city now as an adult, things feel weird. I can, you know, I'm in another country where now I walk around New York City like, oh, I own it.
Fuck you. Forget the guy now.
So, of course, I looked, I'm sure I looked scared.
Yeah.
And whatnot. Yeah. So I hid the duffel bag when they were kicking me out. I hid the duffel bag in the game room downstairs, and I would sleep on the subway. I'd sleep on the ferry was a good one.
You didn't bring your duffel bag?
No, because I didn't.
Because there's $3,000 in there.
So you hid it in a strange place that you might not have ever been allowed back into.
Yeah.
No, okay, just fair enough. That's good.
I knew the money went in the big banks.
Uh-huh.
And
the duffel bag goes in the hostel. I sleep in the ferry.
Right.
How long were you sleeping as a homeless person?
At least a week. I went to a acting audition, and that was the plan. In New York, I was going to be an actor. And I went on audition and then told people, hey, I'm looking for a place. And this guy said, oh, my son actually is looking for a roommate. And he was my first place.
This is so fun. This would never happen now. Like trying to get into a place in New York now is like, give me 25 years of paperwork and a blood sample. I mean, there is nefarious things if you want to like.
Yeah, but
just
I mean, comics are always looking for a random roommate for some cash.
That's true. That's true. It's just so funny. Like, my son. And it's like, here you go, random guy.
Yeah. Right. Hello, new person. Live with my son.
Oh, you say you sleep on a ferry. Live with my son.
He was like, hey, I'm looking for a place. And he's like, yeah, I know. I could smell that.
My references are the ferry captain.
He's like,
my
when
duffel
can you
bag
move?
Can be my guarantor.
When can you move? And you're like, well, I just got to go down to this hostel and go to the game room and I dig my duffel bag from under the tile work.
I didn't know you were supposed to say as soon as possible. I said 5 p.m.
Now.
Was your first roommate the cokehead?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no. No, I was established then. The first roommate ended up never turning rent in.
Oh.
And me and the other roommate didn't know that until the landlord said, hey, enough is enough.
So basically, you guys are paying full rent to him and he's never handing it in.
Yes. And so we find out and we call him
and
on
this
it.
This is the acting coach's son.
Right. And we call him on it. Yeah. And he wasn't a very good actor, the kid. And we call it on him on it. And he goes, oh, yeah, I was putting the money in escrow.
Okay.
And I'm like, I know when things
via
don't
the
make
duffel
sense.
Bag bank yeah. in the hostel
in
incorporated.
Escrow. And well, by escrow, I mean cocaine up my nose.
Right. I'm like, well, is there a problem between us and the landlord that you have to put it in escrow as if we have to hire some kind of lawyer? He's like, escrow. I'm like, all right, I'll pack my shit.
Escargo. Right.
Escargo, get the fuck out of this apartment.
Where do you remember where in New York this first apartment was?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Prospect Park.
Okay.
Wow, before, like, when you could live in Prospect Park and apparently not pay rent.
Yeah, that's wild.
Right.
So what was the worst place you were in, whether it's, like, in just in your situation or your home?
It could have been after that or sometime soon after that.
By the way, Keith is a big dude. Like,
thank you.
You weren't going to punch this guy in the face?
No.
He's still from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay.
He's still right. from sunny time, Pennsylvania, fuck.
Right. He didn't know. See, where I'm from, if you call corn fight, you have to have one. And he didn't follow the rules. And I'm like, well, I guess we're out of luck. What are we going to use? Knives? Well,
you kind of have this, you've always had this attitude of like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Which is accurate, because what are you going to do?
When
you're
going
to fight and you're going to get it out of escrow,
right.
quote unquote. It's over.
I'm walking you to escrow.
Take the money out.
Of course, of course you never pay. Why would you pay? I have that situation to this day. Whenever I buy an airplane ticket and I show up with the ticket and I expect them to go, no, it doesn't work. I'd be like,
yeah, you bought it on the internet?
How's a ticket going to get me on a flying machine from one place to another country because I printed, here's papers. It cost, I gave papers to get this paper. Now I could be on an airplane with food.
Yeah.
No, you can't be in an airplane. Of course I can't.
You're going to live in a hostel for the rest of your life.
He's definitely from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
He's definitely from Pennsylvania.
I'm surprised when anything works.
Yeah.
Oh, Keith, we didn't record this podcast properly. Of course you didn't. See you around.
That is a very, that's you, but that's also a very New York attitude because you get fucked over so hard here all the time.
Nothing's real.
Nothing's real.
Nothing
it's
is
like,
real.
Someone's like, I'm a billionaire business person. And you're then like, you're like, okay. No, you're not. No,
right,
you're not. Right. Everyone's a liar. Nothing's real.
Show me an article in Forbes that is there and recent.
I'm in Forbes and I make no money. Right. Nothing's real.
This is what I mean.
Yeah.
You know how they say the stock market isn't real? That's how I feel about life.
Yes.
Like,
and that's accurate.
Doing?
It works for you.
Right.
Okay, so then what was the worst place?
Probably another hostel.
You went back to the hostel?
A different hostel.
That's your safe space.
This hostel promised I could stay.
Oh, did they double promise? Did they pinky swear?
There was something about it that it was less...
This like is an escrow hostel.
Right. That it was less like a machine. And you could tell like it seemed like a private enterprise.
Right.
There was only one floor.
It was so many duffel bag hiding places.
It was mom and pop sort of
thing. It was mom and pop.
Okay. Yeah.
And
do you guys have holes in the back I can put my bag in?
And there's probably another room of eight, but it was the only room. And I lived there for a year. And,
a year.
Yeah, and so I have a job by now and all that, but it didn't. And but I'm not real. Any money I make, I'm giving it because you're paying weekly, so you're paying more than you would if you paid monthly.
Right.
But you know, that's,
did you think maybe get an apartment?
I couldn't afford the first month, last month, all that.
You couldn't just get a like. You know, a roommate situation.
You couldn't ask an acting coach.
Right.
You still need son's information.
You can like go on the subway and be like, does anyone need a roommate?
They still want thousands of dollars.
Right.
And so I'm like, all right, I'll live like this because it didn't bother me. And I remember I was dating a girl and I.
Isn't it? Wait, I just want to pause.
Yeah.
To all the women listening.
Yes.
Okay. Going like, why can't I find love? I have a job. I care about people.
I'm a CEO.
I take care of my family. Yeah. I follow through. I love people. I send texts back. Keith is like, so I'm in the hospital. I have a girlfriend.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, he's found love.
Yeah. I'm living out of a duffel bag in a mom and pop hostel.
Women have no self-esteem.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's related to you
sure.
or not.
Sure.
It was a general statement. You
what
take it
first?
As you want.
Right. What came first?
You as a human being is evidence, right? Because you're constantly right. loved.
Yada yada yada. Women don't love themselves.
Get no, everything you want, no matter what.
Women just don't get their worth.
You know, it's funny because you know, I sometimes feel like that about myself. Like, you know, I'm a good catch. Like, you know, this is like I'm like a real person. And then you know, you ever see like those memes on Instagram where it's like, do you know that you're crying every night over a man who has one pair of jeans?
Yes. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Right. But yes. like we, you know, idolize.
So who is this lonely woman yeah, who that you were
dating? Yeah. I was a sad fuck.
I was a waiter. She was a waitress. And even though she went to Brown University.
She didn't actually get paid.
She recognized that we were both waiters. So she assumed we were on the same level.
And well, you had a Harvard t-shirt at the time. You had a t-shirt that said Harvard on it. Well,
actually, so. She is the woman that we went to Harvard to see her brother. And I bought a Harvard t-shirt and it kind of bothered her. And I'm like, they sell it to anybody.
You're like, this is my only t-shirt.
Yeah. I use it as a bed sheet at the hostel that I live in.
It's also my towel. Right.
And I fuck you. Anyways, questions?
I went to Brown University.
I love this hostel so much. Like, I took it as my home. That I really did think, like, I started running the hostel. Because I did. Because if I wanted the TV, it was understood whatever I wanted to see.
So it was like being in jail.
Because yeah. everybody else came and went. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were the top dog in jail.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you tell everyone you lived in a big house?
It's yeah. my choice of beds. I go, that's my bed. They're like, I've been here 3 days. I said, that's my
You're
bed.
You're like, I have 12 toilets in my house.
Yeah.
I have a game room in my house.
I have a house and I have a car. It's the bus, but I'm on there yeah. a lot.
Oh, my car's late.
Yeah. This is my driver.
It's like a stretch limo.
So the bathroom got redone in this hostel.
Mm-hmm.
And money. It was fancy marble and everything. I showed this woman the hostel where I stay, like, she's got to be impressed. I run this joint.
Oh, my God.
She left me that day.
Number one, I get to watch TV whenever I want.
On my channel.
Okay. And there's marble in this bath. Why? Where are you going? What? Wait. I love you.
And I have three men that are my bitches.
You have a college degree? What? What? I have
From
a duffel
Brown
bag.
University?
I have a duffel bag.
I have a Harvard tee.
She was upset that I didn't have college plans. And I'm like, for what? Look around. It'll be understood you're the queen of this hostel.
Do you have four stalls in your bathroom? Right. No, I didn't think so.
Right.
You could have been the queen of this. Yeah. Where was this hostel located? Do you remember?
Upper East Side.
Okay. I hope he would remember. He was there for a fucking year.
Yes.
I'm so bad with direction, though. I don't know. But Upper East Side somewhere.
Okay.
So she good. Probably lived on the Upper East. You lived on the Upper East.
She lived
very
in.
Very different.
She lived in Spanish Harlem. I was a little lower.
Ooh, Spaha.
Ooh, Spaha. Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. We didn't call it that.
Yeah. Well, that's.
We called it run.
So you lived in sort of. Dangerous New York. You were right at the end of before Giuliani started cleaning up New York, because I remember hearing stories about New York when I was listening to your guys' podcast as a 14-year-old Canadian girl. And you would talk about like getting robbed and just like sort of nefarious characters everywhere and no one really giving a shit or doing anything
Giuliani
about it.
Giuliani actually washed all the hookers off the island with a fire hose. That's what
Yes.
That's he what
sent
he did.
Them to a gas chamber and said, bye, whores.
Yeah. The Pied Piper was like, you're good. Yeah.
It really was a shift. It was like, you know how we feel about Trump sometimes?
Yeah.
Like, where it's, you know, he's sort of like
the worst.
Putting yeah. a thumb on you, like sort sure. of micromanaging. Giuliani felt like that because I grew up here, but at some point I was going to the same venues that I was going to, and literally the security guy at the door, because it was like a bar, a venue, you know, there was a band on stage. He would tap me on the shoulder and be like, don't stop. You got to stop dancing. And I was like, I was swaying. And he's like, we get shut down for anything. There's a no dancing rule in this one because they couldn't get their cabaret license. And that's what Giuliani was cracking. Literally, you couldn't sway to listen to the music because they actually did get shut down.
Yeah.
Like every other week, their gates were down for some kind of violation.
What were you wearing? Were you doing cabaret?
Yeah.
At that time, it was more like, what was I not wearing?
So what if I had sequin pasties on and that's it?
Yeah. Well, they were trying to get rid of all of the old New York sort of like art spaces, low rent, you know, spots.
Hookers crime.
Yeah, hookers crime, hostels. Well, the reason why I bring this up is because I had a family friend who's a very fancy art dealer now, but he said when he moved to New York, he was walking across the Williamsburg Bridge and there was just a car on fire. And he was just like, yep.
I remember the Williamsburg Bridge now is this beautiful bike path, walk path. Like, there's so much space. There's two places you can go to, one for bike, one for walking. I went across on my rollerblades. This is how long ago it was. It was literally 20 years ago at least. And I, you know, you just kind of like, I rode down from Harlem. I'm like, fuck it, I'll go across the bridge because I was dating someone in Williamsburg at
Warriors.
The time. And I didn't think, like, what is this bridge going to be? It was already nighttime, and I'm crossing it. And I'm like, holy, the whole time I was like, there are little, you know, around the corner of like little dark areas, there are people just doing weird
smoking
shit.
Smoking crack.
And then I got across, and you just kind of like sigh a sigh of relief. And then I told the guy, I'm like, oh, and I bladed over the bridge. And he goes, and what happened? I go, luckily nothing. I did fall. I ripped my pantyhose. Yes, I was wearing a skirt. Mm-hmm. And so
you're wearing pantyhose. It wasn't the skirt that was the problem. Yeah.
And then he goes, you're the first person I know that crossed that bridge that didn't get mugged.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm glad I didn't know that.
It's like playing
before.
A video game.
Yeah, with your life. Am I going to die on this bridge?
It's so nice
the
now.
Bridge of Death. That's
yeah.
What used to call it.
Yeah.
If you see those Marvel comic TV shows like Daredevil, they all take place in Hell's Kitchen. And maybe it's confusing to people now because you see a Disney store and a Burger King.
Yeah.
Well, I think the writers.
Oh, a Burger King. That's how you know it's a nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
But a fancy Burger King, the ones with the lights.
The cantinas.
The front.
Ooh, can you take it back to the hostel?
But when I came in 96, yeah, you had blatant people walking around. Crack, girls. Girls, yeah. Crack. Dope, yeah. Crack. You know, if you stared at somebody too long, it was you're about to make a transaction.
Yeah, you like know? You're affirming with your eyes, like, yes, I will buy something from you.
Some girls, some crack.
And I saw it slowly change from a week before this nice Burger King, it was a jerk-off booth, like one of those theaters.
See, I miss that.
See, yeah, Keith misses it too, don't you?
Right.
Well, it was simple.
A good live show?
Yeah.
I didn't make it to the live show, but the jerk-off booths, yeah.
No, I like the live show.
Wait, tell us, like, he had a little, situation before you went to work. He had what do you call it?
A plan?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. A schedule.
Yeah.
Well, when it was a me day, I was, I'd go to Times Square and I'd see a regular movie. But before that, I'd go into the Duane Reade, pick up lotion and wet wipes, and then into one of those jerk off booths, clean myself up.
Well, you lived in the hostel. I get it.
Right.
So is the jerk off booth just a
videos?
Like a photo booth where you can look at porn and jerk off?
Yes.
That's so funny.
No, you could. I went into one once with a few friends. We were like four giggly, like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And you put in a certain amount of money, which is probably like either two quarters or four quarters,
uh-huh.
And you get to watch a movie for like a minute.
A pornographic film.
No, it's a Disney film.
Yeah.
This is the one that I went to. And then it's over. You got to put more money and you just kind of like watch as long as you need to. And then there's a guy who...
Mops up the cum. Yeah. Now, follow-up question. Mm-hmm. There were also jerk-off booths, from what I understand, that had women behind.
The live, right.
The so live
that,
ones.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be one of those women.
I think I did that only once, and you know, they tried to scam you. An actual movie or you know one of those booths, they're honest.
Yeah, right. You
it's
know
like,
what
you
want to
see a tit? I need more money. Oh, you gave me too much money. Now I know how much money you're going to give me. You want to see pussy? I need a lot more. And says, forget it. I'll see a TV show.
Mm. It's a whole racket.
Yeah, it's a racket.
So you go in there. There's a real woman just standing and being like, some guy's going to jerk off to me now.
Yeah.
And she's in like lingerie or whatever.
It's like a webcam show, but it's live.
Yeah.
That's so funny to me.
And I mean, it's literally just... like giving coins on a webcam show.
And this is like in Times Square.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Times Square was the scuzziest of places.
Yes.
So now speaking of sex workers, this is like your big New York story is you had an encounter with a sex worker. One of your encounters with a sex worker. Is this still
an encounter
when Times Square was Times Square, or is this later on?
Are you thinking the crack lady?
Yeah, yeah.
She wasn't
the crack lady.
Well, I'll tell you why you're saying
so
that.
Proper.
The lady of the crack nature.
She wasn't necessarily a sex worker, but I remember I had an apartment. I was fairly established in New York. I felt, you know, my own apartment and
your own apartment
and a job. And that was enough.
Were when you say your own apartment, you had roommates.
I had roommates, okay. Right? But you know, I wasn't sneaking into a hostel. Or anything. And
were you working as a waiter this whole time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably. I had a, you know, secretary, waiter, jobs that you can get off the street.
jobs you can get off the street. So you're just like, jobs.
No, there
jobs.
Was a time where
no requirements.
To, yeah.
Yeah. Right. You used to walk in and say, are you guys looking?
Uh-huh.
And then they would hand you an application.
Yeah. Okay. And then you did that too.
It wasn't like you had to bring a resume.
Uh-huh.
They hand you an application because this is like a job that we can train you in. So you could do that even in an office. Like,
yeah.
And I could still get a cheap suit jacket. So I put that over the Harvard t-shirt.
This is my weekend look.
Right. And you're like, I could marry a princess. Look at me.
I got a job like that. I would walk into retail stores and say, are you hiring? And I got hired as a cashier.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just walk around for a little while and you literally walk into every space that you think that you can, you know, figure something out in.
Like, I can. The economy was so much better then. Holy shit.
Yeah, but I was making $5 an hour.
Yeah, I don't know if the economy was better. Yeah. It was just, this is pre, like, internet stuff. This is pre, like, who would even have a computer to do these
right.
things? You know,
we didn't even have a printer.
Yeah. So it's like, I would walk in to a restaurant, right? So I was working in a restaurant. I would quit, fight mm-hmm. with my boss, be like, fuck you. He'd be like, you're never going to work here again. I'm like, it's fine. I'll literally keep my apron on and work next door.
Really?
Yeah.
God, simpler times.
Yeah. And then you're like, hey, I still have my apron on. Is it, can we just, oh, I just got to change. Oh, you want me to wear a white button down shirt? Yeah. That's fine. I have one in my car from my last job that I quit.
Yeah.
I will literally start right now. And they're like, okay, cool. You have table 46, 47, 48.
It feels like New Yorkers would just walk around with duffel bags full of like different shirts.
Yeah. I mean, not like just two different
shirts and like
black pants and the safety step shoes from Payless.
Okay.
They're grease resistant. Right. And, I mean, you remember that?
Yeah, of course I do. I remember walking around with resumes. And it was a waiter job, and they said, oh, we're not hiring now, but we'll take your resume. And I said, no exaggeration. I go, oh, no, thank you. And they go, well, we'll keep your resume. I go, these are 5 cents each. No,
yeah. No, thanks.
I need a job. I can't wait.
Yeah, you make a copy. You print it out like, you know, someone has a printer.
Yeah.
Or maybe like someone's mom at work prints it out for you.
Yeah.
And then you go to the drugstore and you make a copy for 25 cents. And then you'd have like five copies of your resume in your, you know, fake briefcase, book bag, duffel bag.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were very, very precious.
And you would bury that under the ground somewhere, come back to it.
It was in the bush on 47th Street.
Okay, so you...
I broke up with a woman, or she dumped me, rather. And
why?
And I was,
you had a suit jacket and a printed resume.
And I remember drinking, being upset about it. And I'm just walking around the city, and I happened to be... I know this was... I believe it was West 4th. And I passed this woman in a phone booth.
In a phone booth?
Oh, yeah. A phone booth is this public situation where you get to pick up a receiver and then
you hear a dial tone, too.
You hear a dial tone. You put a quarter in the thing and then you punch some buttons that you have to remember.
Right.
Like just off the top of your head.
Top of your head. Now, this is not a jerk-off booth. This is a different type of booth.
Well, it depends.
It depends.
It doubled.
Depends on who you're calling.
Potato, potato. Okay.
I don't know what looked worse, that receiver or when I went into an actual jerk-off booth.
I mean, you will know this. Like, if you watch Doctor Who, it's like that, but with a phone inside.
Right.
Gotcha.
Or if you watch Superman, it's like what he uses as his walk-in closet.
Right.
And if you jerk off, it's like that.
Yes. Yeah.
So in this phone booth regularly, because I used to work there, was a crack whore. Mm-hmm. And I say whore, but actually, and I'll tell you why that confused him.
Crack lady.
Mm-hmm. It was a crack lady because I go, you know what? Fuck it. I'm doing crack.
Oh,
really? Okay, yeah. So you were so upset
because
you got broken up, unjustly broken up with. You had a hostel. And I don't know what it was. No,
marble bathrooms.
Marble bathrooms.
And every time, but I thought about it every time I passed this woman.
Okay.
And then one day I'm drunk and I'm like, I'm doing it.
She lives in the phone booth?
She's always, well, she works there.
That's her office.
I didn't live in a restaurant.
Hello. It's Keith. Hello.
You opened the door. So
hello?
you were thinking about it. I mean, you've been a drunk forever.
Right.
But you're not really a drugs person. You try drugs.
I think he's a drug experimenter. I don't think he's a drug addict or
dabbler.
Yeah.
I think he's like open to it. Like, what does that feel like?
Sure.
And then he's good for it. Like he's
if
fine.
It's convenient.
Yeah.
And booze was convenient.
Yeah. And I just wonder because crack is such a step. Crack is.
Yeah. Well, like, he was ready to take it to the next level.
Yes, he was.
Well, that's what she, that's all she had.
How do you ask for crack?
Oh, you just got to look them in the eye and they go, done, okay. Give me your wallet.
How'd you know it was crack? Like, how did you know?
I don't know. You knew.
Did you smell the smell of the crack?
It was
a very specific smell.
She had
smell.
A look like the movies.
Did you knock?
Older, skinny, hair coming off her chin.
So she's my grandmother.
Right. Yeah. Skinny, lucky bitch.
But she was small.
But the unhealthy skinny.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I go... I don't know what I said or gave a look. And, you know, she.
Did you knock?
She ushered me in. No, she sees me looking and she's okay. Like, welcome to my home.
This is like a phone hostel.
Hello, come right. in.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm asking, how does it work? You know, how much is what? And she goes, well, try it for free. See if you like it.
Ooh, free samples. My yeah. favorite. It's like going to Costco.
Sephora. And, free makeover before you buy the product.
And so, you know, next thing you know, she's holding the pipe to my mouth. She lights it.
Oh, my God. This is full service. She's smoking it for me.
Yeah.
It immediately was the greatest thing ever.
Of all time.
My dick got so hard, so fast. Like,
you were like, good thing you're also a hooker.
Right. It blew up like a balloon. Like,
and I'm really?
Like, and my head just feels, I'm like, this is the best ever. And she's like, would this gentleman like some more? And I'm like, want some more? Here's my wallet.
He literally gave her his wallet.
I gave the wallet.
You
like,
corn-fed sucker.
How much do I give you? And she opened it up and like, oh, this is the right amount. Took it all.
Wow. You have $3,000.
Honestly, left me. It was a nice amount, but left me with like Subway money. Mm. And
because she wants you to leave.
Yeah.
She wants me to leave and stay alive too, so I come back another day.
Yeah.
So
right there on the street.
Right there on the
you
street.
You smoke a little sample crack.
Yes. Was it day or night?
In a booth, Tracy.
Sample crack, and then she gives me crack for whatever money she took out of my wallet.
Was it in
crack for the road?
Was it in a rock?
Yes.
Do you remember? Okay.
Do you have a pipe though? Or does she give you a pipe? Like supply you with the accoutrements?
No. So she's like, I want to, basically she's like, which is any good drug dealer's con, get him hooked, get him enough to get going,
and
but not
back.
Kill him. He needs to be able to get home to his.
Do you have to go buy a crack pipe?
So she gave me, I'll figure out the next day. That's what I'm thinking. So I have a little thing, rock of crack. It sounds like felt bad for me. She also gave me like a little weed, I guess, to take the edge off.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Sprinkling on top.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a parsley garnish.
But now I'm very horny, and I don't know what I say, but it's apparent like, hey, let's fuck, and you'll do it.
You're
crack,
a hooker.
You have hair off your chin. And she turned
I went to Harvard t-shirt.
And she turned me down. And
she was like, no, I heard where you live. No, thank
she
you.
She was like, no, I already have your money.
Right.
Yeah.
She goes, no, I'm like, I figured like now we're just, I've seen movies. Now we're just animals.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden I'm in the fucking, I'm a DARPA. I'm disgusting. Let's fuck.
Yeah.
In the subway.
We'll do heroin needles in your pussy.
I don't know where this is going to end. Fuck you, Kara. And she goes, oh no, I don't have sex with my clients. And I'm like,
oh, you're a client now.
If you wouldn't have bought the crack first.
I don't know.
Yeah. You can't mix the two. You can't mix business.
No, I understand that. Yeah. And pleasure.
Yes.
So now you have crack.
So now I have the crack.
Also, shame on you for assuming she was a sex worker.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. You know, I think just because you hear the phrase crack
just
whore.
Just because she's a drug dealer.
Yes.
Right.
Living in a phone
booth.
It's
like, I have boundaries and limits.
She's a businesswoman.
Right. She's not while I'm on the clock. If I don't have discipline, what do I have?
Also, take me out for a dollar slice. Right.
Don't get high on your own supply, number one.
Yeah. Right.
Don't fuck men in phone booths, number two.
That's one of the crack commandments.
Yes.
Is it day or night?
It's night. It's evening.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Ooh,
so this makes, I can see why you would think you could fuck at night, because once the sun goes down in New York, if you can find like a corner to do something, no one cares. And I feel like that's true now in a lot of ways. Like, it's definitely a lot cleaner, but I know places I can go to do shady shit and everyone's going to be like, forget about it.
Right.
Still definitely
you know a lot
exists.
Of dark corners.
Yeah, I do. I've been here for 11 years.
This story doesn't end here.
Yeah.
I figured.
I was on the subway.
No, he went home and prayed. No, of course. He's got a rock hard dick and he's ready to fucking
he's
flush it all down the toilet.
Rock hard dick.
Well, it's funny when you say about pranks. So I'm on the subway and my heart is beating so fast. I'm like, I'm going to die. Okay, well, I'm not going to the hospital, so.
Hello!
Let's
wait
just
a minute.
Enjoy it.
So, your good feeling turned into a bad feeling that quick?
Yeah, because my heart's just going crazy, and I'm like,
"Hello, I don't feel good from crack."
Yeah.
So I went, "Okay, well, I'm not going to call the police. I'm not going to go to a hospital. So I'm either going to die or not. Just focus on the good feeling. Okay. Oh, it does still feel good."
That's again. This is the attitude of like what's going to happen is going to happen,
yeah.
Which is very zen when you're high on crack and thinking you're going to die on the subway.
And then soon the feeling goes away. And I'm like, oh, I want more.
And you're still on the train.
Yeah, this is what they're talking about. And it was later in night because nobody was in my... Well, actually, yeah, there were like two people in my subway car, I think. And I walked to the other end where they were on the subway car. I put the crack on the seat.
Why did you go where they were?
No, where they weren't. Where weren't, sorry.
Yeah.
And I took my credit card and I tried to chop this rock up and I was going to snort it.
Ooh. And this is, and they could see you, obviously.
Yeah, but they're like, don't
think on the seat, Keith. Do you know how dirty that seat is?
Mm-hmm. For crack.
So you're like, quote unquote, turning into this animal that you knew is what would happen if you did drugs. Like, this is always what the movie show.
They were
like,
right.
You're going to be snorting it and fucking this and woman this is, with the chin hair.
That's they shouldn't make shit up like weed makes you jump off a building because the other stuff is true.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, you know, we heard like a lot of scumbaggy, you know, versions of what Keith is, but he's embarrassed more easily than all three of us here. So it's not like him to put knees on the ground, to do weird shit in front of people like that. Like, that's an at-home situation. So you're on crack for sure.
In a hostile situation. Yeah.
So I'm trying to chop this up. It is not chopping.
No. Crack's very hard. It's like, I think it's, you know how like gems have a hardness level?
Right. Yeah.
I think that, I think diamonds are 10, right?
Yes.
And I think crack is 7.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Tracy, fucking weirdo.
Yeah, you could actually buy someone a rock of crack, get it set in a setting, and it will last forever.
I figured out my girlfriend's Christmas
Keith
gift.
Proposed to this woman in the booth. He came back and he's like, I made it into a rock for you, sweetie.
I realize it's too much for me to handle, but I love you.
Let's run away together.
So
please don't smoke the ring.
Yeah.
So I know on the subway I can't smoke the weed, I feel like. And not that I had something to smoke it in anyway.
Yeah.
And the crack I can't break up. So by the time I get home, I'm completely sober, and I can't believe what a disgusting person I was. And I throw the crack out and the weed. Like,
what?
I'm not going to do anything.
Why do you
anything.
Suck on the crack rock?
I'm sure I tried.
Like a lozenge.
I know this feeling where, like, and me and Chemda went to a show recently together where someone recognized me because I stole 10 grand worth of weed from them, LOLOLOL.
We'll get to that in another episode.
You know.
Is that when you felt like you were a New Yorker?
You know, yeah, that was pretty good. I was on the street selling it. Anyways, don't listen, police. But I remember after doing that, I had this moment of like, oh, I got to turn it around. Like once you do something that extreme way out of your comfort zone, which happens in New York, you're like, I'm going to be Christian now.
Right.
I'm just, all I'm going to do is read books. Like there's this refractory period where you're so mortified at the animal that you've become that you double down into like this other area.
Yeah, it wasn't praying per se, but it was throwing out everything. And I did have a weed pipe at home and I could have smoked. I'm like, no, I'm throwing out the pipe too.
Yes.
But were you still drunk?
The crack took over everything.
Okay.
No, I don't
crack really sobers you up.
Yeah.
In a pinch. I don't recommend it, but in a pinch.
You do a juice cleanse, you do some crack.
Yeah.
You try to have sex with a sex worker.
I had
with a not sex worker.
Yeah, and then you get your life together.
I had a half a Coors Light one night and I was with this guy who likes hard drugs, and around 4 o'clock in the morning I was gonna drive home and he's like, wait a minute. Don't drive home. You're still drunk. I was like, I had a half a Coors Light at 7 p.m.
Right. Yeah.
It's 4 a.m. And he was like, here, have some of this. And I was like, oh, you want me to do coke and then drive home?
Well,
and he goes, it's heroin. Oh, I go, oh, you want me to drive home on heroin because you're afraid that I had a Coors Light.
Well, it's a sleepy time drug. Heroin calms you down. It's a downer.
Yeah, he said
that
it sobers you up.
Okay.
My hands are at 10 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. 6.
So crack was so good. You knew it would take over your life and you threw it in the toilet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like for being an addict, or maybe it's simply more alcohol, but it was so much I knew, like, it doesn't even scare me because I wouldn't even mess with it.
Yeah.
Now that's one of my favorite stories of Keith's New York living. And there's another one that's like, it's not my favorite because this is like a violent thing, I think, but you got held up at gunpoint.
Yeah. So
this is totally different times.
Yes.
Even by the crack point, I did feel like a New Yorker where I'm like, yes, I live here now. Nothing strange. You're a crackhead. I will take some, you know? So sometime later, I'm in Brooklyn. I'm going to a woman's house. Another one.
Mm. And did she go to Harvard?
She went somewhere. They all go somewhere.
She got the fuck away from
you. She's a doctor from Yale. Oh my God.
And I'm going to her house. And
isn't this after like a waiter shift?
It's at night. Yeah, it was. Because right. It's at night, late, and I can't, and I'm bad with direction. And I'm really, even though I'm a New Yorker, I'm looking up at all the building numbers like I'm some
rube by Times Square. Yeah, you got dumb country face. Yeah.
And I'm like, what's this? And the next thing I know, I hear somebody go, you know, give me your money. And I'm not really paying attention. So I just go to walk past them. Like, it's just, you know, it's another homeless thing. And then he goes, hey, I said, give me your money. And I look, and there are two guys, two guns pointed at me.
Wow.
One on my head, one on my chest. And he goes, give me your money. And
you're going to shoot me for $20?
And it feels, I happen to have money in my wallet.
Well, because he just got off a shift.
Cash. Yeah.
Right. And
cash is king.
And
baby.
And by the way, as I understand it, because like Tracy was saying earlier, you know the black pants, you know the dark shoes, mm-hmm. you know the waiter button-down right. shirt.
Uh-huh.
You know that these waiters are coming home with money sure. because a lot of them get paid in cash, and it's the end of the night. So he probably also had a waiter look on
what
him.
What a just like shady economy everything is.
Yeah. You smell like fries and barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
I mean, my girlfriend at the time, she was in for a treat, but this guy knew...
Yeah, so you're looking around and you look like you just got off a shift.
And I feel like, yeah, of course, you know, I deserved it. I'm looking around like a dope. I know mm-hmm. New York rules. So it feels like forever that I'm staring at this guy and I'm honestly debating what to do. Like, I'm not some sucker. I'm not a bitch.
But there are two guns pointed at me.
Okay, I'll double uppercut the guns. And I'll double punch the people. No, that's not practical. He's like, motherfucker, I'm serious. I'm debating. And I go, maybe
the crack lady runs up from the side like, that's my guy. I gotcha.
She strangles him with her chin hairs.
Hits you with the crack rock that's so hard.
I go, 1 second. I just need to smoke this. Idiot. Fuck me.
My dick's so hard it becomes a gun. So, I shoot them with
So I'm wondering, like, will these guys really fire a gun in the street? And I'm debating about it. And then they cock the guns.
Oh, they're not kidding.
Yeah.
And I go,
probably not loaded.
And now I'm more mad at me, myself. I'm like, could I have fought you when they weren't cocked?
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know.
You cock your penis.
Foreskin back. So I'm really debating what to do. And they go, this motherfucker thinks we're playing. And then they point the guns at my legs. And that's when I take it seriously.
That's
and
I'm really like, scary because, okay, you're not trying to kill someone, but you don't care if you shoot my leg.
Yeah. Right.
I don't want to be in a wheelchair. You know, my head, okay.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's fine because that's over.
Yeah.
So I take out my wallet and I remember the crack lady, I just handed my wallet.
Right. This and she one, figured it out.
Now yeah. it's a year or two later. I'm more, I'm more street smart.
Yeah, like, here's $40. Is that cool? Right.
Or maybe there's more blood in your head this time.
Right.
Yeah.
So I take out the cash that's in my wallet.
How much was it?
I know exactly how much it was. It happened to be a $100 bill. Ugh. I had $101 in my wallet.
And that was rent at the time.
I just took it out, gave it.
I mean, this isn't 1976. Right.
It was rent the roaring 20s.
And cut to later, I still have my wallet that I'll explain how. And there was a dollar bill in there. And I'm like, if I had my wits about me, I could have handed the dollar or maybe who knows.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, why would I have a – why did I – make it a $100 bill, you know?
Yeah, you should have buried it in the hostel. You know what to do with money. It goes in a bank or in a bag in a hostel.
I call these hostels my safe places.
Yes. It's safe escrows. Houses. Right. Keith's various escrows.
So I give the money, and then one guy says, the guy in charge, and he says, give me the whole wallet. And the other guy, almost like a dumb cartoon, is like, yeah, give him your wallet. And I'm like defeated at that point where I go, no, that's my license and stuff.
You said that out loud.
Yeah. Like, just like not even trying to be a tough guy. I'm like, that's my license and stuff. Like, you know,
DMV.
You know, standing in line at the
also,
fucking
you don't want
DMV.
My license?
Yeah.
No.
What are you going to do, hack into nothing? Come on.
It was just understood that wasn't an option. The wallet's probably back in my pants at that point. And they're like, okay, fucking weirdo. And then they kept walking. And then, and I had my cell phone. And so I called the police right away as I'm walking. 911, And they go, okay, where are you? And I'm like, I now I'm paying attention to street signs. I'm coming this direction.
All of a sudden he knows direction.
Yeah, yeah, just past this street. I'm coming towards this street, zigzagging a little bit, but you can tell my pattern. And she goes, well, you have to stay where you're at.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I was just robbed.
Keep getting robbed.
And she's yelling at me because I won't stay. I'm like, well, I can't stay. I'm not staying.
Yeah.
And then she goes, well, you have to stay. And I go, fuck you. And I hung up. And then I go, well, that can't be the end. So 911, ring. What's your emergency key?
Fuck you.
To a high knot. This guy again.
Right. So the same person's telling me to stay somewhere. And I'm like, well, I'm going to keep walking for a while. I'll stay at a gas station. It takes the cops, I don't know, over an hour at least.
Yeah.
And I then feel the like cops they didn't even want to come.
And then the cops drive me around, but there's no point.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the end of that. They had me come in to do mugshots. But guess what? In these mugshots, every criminal is smiling. And I think it's a move because when they rob you, they're not smiling.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell what anybody looked like.
Sure.
I do remember calling 911 and them saying, was the perpetrator black or Hispanic?
Oh, New York.
You're like, ooh, trick question.
Yeah. And I go, whoa, that seems wrong. They're black.
I think he was mixed.
Right. And then you see these smiling faces. I'm like, oh, they're looking all the same with the smiling faces. And, you know, nothing got done.
Well, it's kind of like, it reminds me, Chemda, you had a story of a drugged out roommate who stole like all of your stuff.
Yeah.
And the cops came to investigate. Mm-hmm. And I think they said something like, we'll look into it. And you're like, but you don't even have the information.
Yeah,
they were leaving. I was in a new place and I figured out that she robbed me after. It's a long story and I'll tell it on another show, but I gave them some information, mm-hmm. but I didn't give her address or any of her information. I just kind of told the story.
Sure.
And they're like, we got it. And they, you know, like closed up their pads.
Blah, 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 blah.
Brawn it, Johnson.
Putting it in the system.
And they start leaving and I go, I literally didn't tell you the address.
We'll call you. You don't have my number.
And they were like, man, I don't even think they said anything to me. Right. They just kind of left.
I'll throw up the bat signal, you dumb bitch. This is New York. I don't give a fuck.
Basically.
We got Daredevil on it.
I will tell you this. I've never had anything investigated, like actually investigated. I was in a situation where I was walking, you know, like just around my neighborhood with a friend of mine. And, you know, we just had like our house keys with us. That's it. We were just like walking for exercise. And this guy came up to us. It was, you know, probably like 9 o'clock at night. It was dark out. And he was like, give me $50 right now.
So specific.
And I'm like, hi, dude.
You think I have $50?
Yeah. Right.
Like, you think, what do I have? $50 bill in my leggings?
Yeah. Well, were you wearing a suit jacket?
I was wearing a Harvard tee. And he was like, give me $50. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. And he was like, fuck you guys. And like, he screamed at us. Yeah. And, you know, it was like maybe a tiny bit scary.
Yeah.
And he walked away. And my friend said to me, whew, that was a close one. I thought he was going to call us fat.
Body shaming.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, thank God, you're right. And we went to the payphone and called 911 because it's free.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, stay right there. And we waited for 2 hours. Now it's 11 o'clock at night and we're like, this is getting pretty, like, we should probably go home. This
ma'am, first of all, are you fat?
They were like, okay. What do you weigh? What do you weigh? And they finally came like 2 hours later and they were like, yeah, we could just drive around. But I was like, yeah, he's probably in like North Carolina by now.
Yeah.
With not $50.
Yeah.
Well, I got chased by a guy. I got off the train really late at night because I was like, it was during finals week. I was all zonked out. I got out at the wrong stop. And
we
I was
get
like,
it. You went to school.
You know, I went to college. I have the sleeveless t-shirt to prove it.
I like what I'm hearing.
Oh my God, what are you trying to seduce him?
United Hostel Academy of Staten Island. And I got out of the train and I was all whacked out and I was like, I'm just going to walk home. And a guy looked at me and I had this rube look on my face. It really is a thing. You have this look like you're confused or you're tired or you don't have your wits about you and you're fucking done. He looked at me. he smiles. And I'm like, that's not a good smile.
No.
That's a bad smile. That's a rape smile, you know? Oh, like, you fucking dumbass. There's no one around here. You're mine, bitch.
That's so scary.
He rubs his hands together.
Yeah, honestly, basically. Yeah. And so I'm like, I'm just going to start walking very fast because that's how I show that I mean it. And so I'm walking fast and then he starts walking fast and I'm like, oh, fuck.
That's when you yell out, oh, this is getting me so hard.
Yeah, I'm so horny.
My boner is very big right now.
My big old dick. And then I started running and he started running and I'm like, oh, this is officially happening. I am almost getting raped. Woo, woo. And so I start like running between.
How cocky of you to assume it's a rape and not a robbery.
I mean, listen, I'm pretty hot. I'm going to be honest. I got a great
ass. That's what it takes. And now he knows you can run. So yeah. He knows you're in shape. It's great. Love it.
And so I start running. I start dodging to different blocks. Like, don't run in a straight line. Turn left. The crack lady's behind me. Everyone's. And I see cop cars and I just slam my hands on the front of the cop car. And I'm like, there is a man running after me. And they're like, well, where is he? And I'm like, you are driving me home. And they're like, well, okay. Like, they were so annoyed.
Andrea, this isn't an Uber service.
Yes.
What if everybody did that?
Also, you're going to get arrested for assaulting a cop car.
Yes.
Right. Please put your hands behind your back.
Yeah. Yeah. They really, I had to be like, no, you're doing this. They used to be so pushy to get anyone to give a fuck for you. Right. And they drove me home.
Well, I remember saying to my cops, I was feeling like such a bitch. And I'm like, when the cops finally did came and I'm like, so I just gave him my money. Did I do the right thing? Like, obviously they're going to say yes, but I want to hear it.
Of course.
Like, no, you should have fought him.
They're like, wait, you had $100 and $1 bill and you gave him $100? Oof,
were they
mistake.
Nice about it?
Yeah, they were nice about it. Okay. And they were shitting on the 911 workers.
That's good.
That's good.
I remember when they had the guns pointed at me, another guy was walking and I could just feel that he's walking towards these guys with guns. And I'm trying to look at him, but he's not looking at me. And I'm, you know, again, it feels like forever. It's a split second, but I'm like, we make eye contact. We'll figure out a plan together. This is it. They point the gun at one guy points a gun at him and says, give me your money. He goes, I don't speak English, and keeps walking. I'm like, but I could have not speak English.
Welcome to New York.
Yeah, truly. There's when someone like crosses the street.
And that guy didn't call 911 for me. He's like, oh, you guys deal with this.
He's
shit.
Like, no, thank you.
Not my business. I have resumes to hand out. So it's your fucking problem. It very much is like, it's your fucking problem. If you can't get out of it, that's your business.
And that's
the
New York.
Yeah, it is.
I love these stories. I'm so sorry, Keith, that I love your story.
I'm alive, so it's fine.
Right. You did okay.
Crack free for about 20 years.
Congratulations on your sobriety.
Mm-hmm. That was a real quick up and down.
You should listen to Keith's podcast because it's my podcast too. Yeah. It's called Keith and the Girl. We've been doing it since 2005. We're both in the Podcasting Hall of Fame. I don't know why you would want to listen to us just because we're in the Podcasting Hall of Fame. I feel like it's just like,
I think it's a good,
we've been doing this long enough, like, to give us a listen.
Yeah.
So go to keithandthegirl.com or find Keith and the Girl anywhere podcasts are. And we are at Keith and the Girl on social media. That's how you find Keith Malley and let him know how you did, how
Thank
he
you.
Did.
Mm-hmm. And Tracy, where can people find you?
You can go to tracycarnazzo.com and find my upcoming tour dates, or you could follow me on social media at TrixieTuzzini, TrixieTuzzini on Instagram and Twitter. And you could listen to my two podcasts, 90 Day Fiancé Trash Talk and Teen Mom Trash Talk, because I'm a classy broad.
You are the trashiest bitch I know.
What about you, Andrea?
And I love you.
It. Yeah. Follow me at AndreaComedy69 on Instagram, because I'm an adult and a business owner. And you can listen to my podcast, The Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
And I'm the same as Keith. Listen to Keith and the Girl. Thank you for listening to this show. Don't forget to spread the word and, you know, rate and review and share.
Give us a 5-star rating and an amazing review telling us what you love about us and the podcast.
Crack, hostels, sleeveless shirts. Come on, forget about it.